Let me ask you before we have a word of prayer, real quick. Do you know how to enter into God? Do you know how to enter into prayer? Do you know how to enter into a service? Do you know how to enter into? Let me just pray some stuff that I feel like God is telling me this morning to pray that may help you, help us. We want what you want. But Lord, our flesh doesn't, and the enemy doesn't, and the world doesn't. But we want what you want. So right now, help us to prepare ourselves. Help us to quiet ourselves, to bring all of our, all the stuff that we're full of, all of our matter, all of our thoughts, our busyness, our needs, our hurts, our pains, our stuff that's inside of us that's in your way, or stuff that we're just full of. And because you care so much for us, you just want us to bring all that to you first. So we're bringing it all before you, Jesus. Our needs, our hurts, our wants, our distractions, our sin, whatever it is. And we give it to you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You never get tired of dealing with us. You never get exasperated or frustrated or put out or disappointed. You're so awesome. You're just so kind in how you keep dealing with us. And you never give up. You keep believing in us. Right now, we want to break agreement with doubt about that and come into faith about that. And believe that you believe in us. Thank you, Jesus. Now, right now, we want to give you everything in our lives and say, Lord, we want to focus, pay attention, and receive and have planted and then bloom in us truths that you have for us today. We want what you want. And anywhere we don't want what you want, we ask you to correct that. So we come into oneness with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making it all possible. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to live and dwell inside of us. And we're sorry for how we resist you and disobey you. And thank you that you don't give up on us. And we're just asking that you would keep working in us to bring us into oneness with you. Thank you, Jesus. You're so awesome. Amen. Do you know something? When that is quickened in you, you'll want to tell everybody about it, because it'll give you such hope and such peace and such joy and just hope, because God never gives up on us. God never gives up on us. He's not mad, disappointed, wringing his hands, kicking. When will they ever get this? That's not God. That's us in the flesh. That's not God. That's the devil telling you, you'll never change. But see, it's not your job to change. Did you know that? I don't think you know that. I don't think a lot of people know that. It's not your job to change. It's your job to admit where you are and ask Jesus to change you. I dare you. This isn't even in my notes. This is just in my spirit. Colossians 2:6. I dare you to go look up that verse and meditate on it. Steve, Brother Steve, was with us back in 93 when God brought this to me. And he put Colossians 2:6 on me. And for 2 full years, I couldn't think of anything but Colossians 2:6. And I kept saying, God, I've never heard anybody teach on this. I don't know what I'm supposed to get out of this. Let me, hang on. I said, what? I read the Bible from cover to cover just on Colossians 2:6. What? I preached for 2 full years on Colossians 2:6. Cross-referencing it with everything I could think of, salvation, baptism, church, witnessing, everything. And it was like, what? What is it you want me to get? And he said, the same way, Colossians 2:6, the same way you get saved is the same way you're supposed to live. How do you get saved? You realize your condition. And you admit your inability. I can't be anything different. I'm a sinner. Is there any person in this room that's not a sinner? Just do me a favor. Raise your hand. I'm not a sinner. You see, before you met Jesus, you were a sinner. But you were a lost sinner. You were a condemned sinner. You're still a sinner. You're just a saved sinner. You're a forgiven sinner. You're a delivered sinner. Do you hear what I'm saying? The same way you get saved is the same way you're supposed to live. Man, Lord, I didn't know we were going to talk about this. This is so cool. I love this. The same way you get saved is the same way you're supposed to live. Last week I gave you, remember, a 3-point outline, a 4-point outline, and a 5-point outline. Does anybody remember that? You at least remember me saying it. You may not remember the outlines. Okay. Do any of you remember the 5-point outline? I'm not asking you, can you read it to me? I know you may have it in your notes, and that's good. And Roxanne, I'm glad you're nodding your head. But I'm asking for a reason. And the reason I'm asking is, not to embarrass anybody, I'm asking you for a reason. I'm going to ask, do you know the 5-point outline? Do you know the 4-point outline? Do you know the 3-point outline? And the reason I'm asking is, see, I do. And the 3-point outline that God gave me, when I go to witness to somebody, the 3-point outline is when I go to talk to somebody, the first thing we got to talk about is sin. Second thing we got to talk about is self. Third thing we got to talk about is Savior. Sin, I got it. I got sin. But you're going to talk to some people and they don't have sin. I've never lied. I'm not a sinner. I know. But I'm telling you what people, because I've witnessed to so many people, I've met people, all these different categories. I'm like, what? They're like, oh, I don't sin. Self. I can't save myself. I can't quit. I can't change it. I need a Savior. His name is Jesus. See, people can believe in Jesus, but if they haven't dealt with their sin yet, they haven't got honest and realized their inability, they won't depend on His ability. They'll just try to take the name of Jesus and put it in their life like it's some magic little umbrella or something. I put on this magic garment of Jesus because I've got these warm, fuzzy feelings over the name of Jesus. Believing in Jesus is you first have to see your need. That's why I ask this question of people. Did you personally need Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you? Good question God gave to me. Did you personally need Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you? When I'm saying this in Sunday school, I'm trying to get this into you. Because if you have this in you, when you're talking to somebody, if you have this inside of you, it'll come out of you. And you'll help them. Because how would somebody live? I'm going to ask a question, then I'm going to wait for an answer. Okay. How would somebody live with themselves if they didn't think they were going to heaven? How would somebody live with themselves? How would somebody, what I'm saying is, how would somebody live? Lord, how do I put the question? I can see it. I'm trying to think how to put the question. Let's put it this way. There are people, many, many, many people, if you ask them, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And their answer, the majority of people I ask would say yes. Now, if they're Asian, I might need to say Nirvana or Utopia or something. If they're Jehovah's Witness, I might need to say whatever that other word is, whatever I know that come to me, but whatever, paradise. But I ask people, if you were to die right now, where would you go? And the majority, I could walk out here, take you right out here. The first 50 people I find, the majority of them, I bet 49, if not 50, would say to you, I'm going to heaven. Can I ask you a question? Do you think if we went out there and found 50 people, do you think all of them would be going to heaven? Okay. But they all think they're going to heaven. Because they have to tell themselves something. They're telling themselves something of why they think they're going to heaven. I'm a good person. I don't do as bad as Leida does, so I'm going to heaven. I'm better than her. See what I'm saying? I don't drop Nate's food on the floor and kick dirt in it and then feed him. See, I'm going to heaven. I have warm, fuzzy feelings toward God. Well, he does. I know what you mean. It doesn't mean he's going to let you into heaven. So that's why we need to have these questions and thoughts within us. Why? When they say that, I dare you. Because I used to say that to people all the time. If you were to die, where would you go? Heaven. I'm like, you were just using God's name in vain. You were just stealing. You were just lusting. You were just... Why do you think you're going to heaven? And I ask him, because I'm a good person. Because I used to go to church all the time. I'd go if my mate went. You know? Because I help people. Because I give. Another good question to ask people when they say that is, so why did Jesus die on the cross? Just ask a question and be quiet. Ask a question and be quiet. And let them talk. Because when they do, it will open your eyes. You will get an education more than you can in this class. Let's go back to the five-point outline, Colossians 2:6. The same way that you get saved is the same way you're supposed to live. So let's just pretend for a moment that Tom's saved. Let's pretend. What had to happen for Tom to get saved? He had to admit he's a sinner, okay? Do you hear what he said? That's exactly right. He couldn't deal with his sin by himself. He couldn't fix the sin by himself. What else? For Tom to be saved, he had to admit he's a sinner. He had to realize or admit that he couldn't take care of his sin by himself. Public confession of... Okay, good. What else? What did he have? What had to happen for Tom to be saved? He had to realize that he needed a Savior. She said that Jesus was his substitution and took his place. Okay. So let me give you this five. Okay, so how do we live? Because that's what it says, Colossians 2:6. The same way you get saved is the same way you're supposed to live. So how does somebody get saved? They realize they're a sinner. They admit their inability to deal with it, to change it. And then they trust in Christ. They depend on Christ. So how do we live? Let's put that into an outline of how do we live. We need to realize that every day that we're a sinner, that without Christ, we're going to be selfish, we're going to lie, we're going to manipulate, we're going to deceive, we're going to be deceived every day. And then we can't change it. It's not us getting smarter. I need to go to college and get another degree. It's not being smarter. It's I have no ability. But Christ has all the ability. I'm going to depend on Him, trust in Him. Do you know that's what prayer is? Depending on God to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Asking God, believing God's going to do it for you. 5-point outline, you ready? I'm going to turn what Jen said into 2 points. Realize your condition and admit your inability. Actually, that's what Jen and Dana said. Now let's take what Leida said and turn it into 2 points. Realize God's solution to your condition, the death, burial, and resurrection, and then admit His ability. He can do something about it. You see, folks, you and I need God to change us. It's not that we change ourselves. We don't change ourselves. We need Him. I want to give you a verse that was coming to me when I was praying over there. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. We love You, Jesus, because You, Jesus, first loved us. God brought to my attention this morning, He said, Harvey, are you trusting more in your love for me than my love for you? Are you trusting more in my love, in your love for me, Harvey? Or are you trusting in my love for you? See, we think, well, I love God, but I'm not sure He loves me. I'm not sure He still likes me. And I just kicked that dirt in the food before I picked it up and put it back on Nate's plate. I just was selfish. I just was yelling at my mate. I just lied. I tried not to hurt their feelings. Isn't it okay? Because I was trying not to hurt their feelings, so I lied. But then afterwards, we don't feel good about it. We don't have peace. Do you trust more in your love for God or His love for you? Because you only love God because He first loved you. And it takes God to love God. Because God is love. The best we could do is have warm, fuzzy feelings. Phileo. Human affection. But godly love, laying down your life, caring more for somebody than yourself, that takes God. That's God's love. When we start believing that God loves us, I want you to think about this week or last week. Just think about when you just did something or thought something or said something to somebody, and it wasn't good. And then you started beating yourself up. Or maybe you became self-righteous. Well, they deserved it. That's right. She said it. Raspberries. Okay. And guess what God did? He cried. Because he loves you. But you were hurting yourself. And he was standing there just like this. He didn't do this. But you think he did, many of you. You think he turned his back on you. You think, that's it. 493,720. I'm drawing the line. That's it. I'm done. Okay, I'll accept you if you come back through Jesus and do it all, jump through all the hoops. That's not how God is. He never gives up on you. When you are witnessing, why is he having me tell you this? First, for you, because you need this. But second, because when you go to witness to people, you're going to be witnessing to people that are sinners. And they need to know that God loves them. Unconditionally. He doesn't love them if they start coming to church. Do you hear me? He doesn't love you if you start keeping the rules. He loves you whether you keep the rules or not. He can bless you when you keep the rules. Do you understand? Because he's not going to bless sin like we did with our kids and enable them to do something. Well, I don't want to do that. You know, that would be mean or that would be too hard or, oh, I feel sorry for them. And God's like, no, I'm going to do what's best for you. I'm not going to enable you to sin. I'm not going to bless your sin. He said, but I'm going to love you in your sin. I'm going to believe in you. I'm not going to give up on you. Do you hear me? You have to own that to give it away. You have to own that to give it away. God loves you 100%. Right now. And he'll never quit loving you. If I don't know, I don't think there's anybody in this room that's going to hell. But if there was somebody in this room that was going to go to hell. You read in Psalm 139. I believe it teaches, says, behold, if I was to make my bed in hell, if I was to live there, thou art there. I believe God goes to hell. Sees the people. Now, they don't see him because there's no light there. Do you understand? But he goes and he cries because he created them to have intimate relationship with him, just like your child, like you want to have with your child. He doesn't give up on them. His desire is for each person. Each person on the planet. If Reuben goes to turn his focus on God, something that he's shown me is God stops everything he's doing because Reuben was uniquely designed to meet a need in God's heart like nobody else on the planet can. So when little Reuben lifts his little arms, I love you, Jesus. He's like, oh, I needed that. He loves him. But he loves him when Reuben doesn't think about him for 3 or 4 days at a time. If Reuben did that. He loves you for who you are. Every person on the planet. Man, I feel much better. Okay, let's read Psalm 66:16. I'm going to read you some verses on witnessing. We'll end up our last 6 minutes with this and we'll be done. You ready? Psalm 66:16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Witnessing. I will declare what he has done for my soul. What has God done for you? See, when you go to witness to somebody, hear me. Dear Holy Spirit, what do they need to hear? Dear Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? You know what he says to me a lot of times? Be quiet. Let them talk. I'm telling you.
He's like, let them talk. I had a man this week, his three-year-old has some kind of, I don't even know what it is, but they've got a port in his chest. And they've been doing chemo. All the stuff they do is through this little port. And this guy is not a believer. He finally told me this week, I've had two times where God got loose on the phone. He's a customer of mine. He's a repeat customer. He's a remodeler, flips houses, remodels, whatever. And he called me to do a tub. And I don't even know how it happened, but God poked a hole in my balloon and got loosed while he was driving through a McDonald's, because I could hear the speaker, and then he told me it was McDonald's, you know, drive-through. And I shared with him my testimony, and he said, you know, I don't even believe in all that stuff. He said, but that kind of felt good when you were talking. He said, that was okay. And then a few days later, we did the job. I called him to get paid. And he didn't call me back. The next morning, he called me and said, Harvey, I didn't call you yesterday because my three-year-old, and then he began to tell me the story about his son. And he said, I wish it could happen to me. Why is this happening? And he said, when I go to DeVos Children's thing, there's kids there and parents that are going through, makes what we look like what we're going through, like we're walking through the park. Why? And God was like, just be quiet, let them vent. I just let him vent, say all his words. When I did say whatever I said, which was, there is things that I would like to respond to what you're saying. I said, but you said you don't have time right now, so could I put the ball in your court and maybe we could get together for lunch? You know what he said to me? He said, normally, he goes, normally when people talk to me about this stuff, I tell them, stuff it. I don't want to hear it. He said, some Jehovah's Witness came to my house the other day. We were having a party. And he said, they walked up in my yard. And he said, lady, you're nice, but don't ever step foot in my yard again. I don't want to hear it. He said, all this religious stuff. I said, I don't want to hear it. I said, I understand. He said, I was raised Catholic. He said, I had this cram down my throat. And he said, and as soon as I got old enough to get away from it, I haven't had nothing to do with this, and I don't let anybody talk to me. He said, but Harvey, when you talk to me, and remember what God had told me? Be quiet. Let him talk. So I sat on the phone, being quiet, while he's talking, venting, blah, 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 blah. And a lot of stuff he was saying wasn't true, but it was what he was feeling, what's inside of him. You understand? And he said, Harvey, but when I talk to you, something's different. He said, I like it when you talk. He said, and I'm going to take you up and for us to get together because I've never met you personally, but I want to. I'm looking forward to whatever you're going to tell me. Now that is the Holy Spirit, but it started with being quiet. Understand that everybody is full of something. They don't need you to come and try and fill them with more, like Harvey used to do all the time. Bless God, I got the Bible here. Just open your mouth. It won't hurt too much. I promise. I'm getting you to Jesus. Just hear everything I got to say. It'll help you. If you could just get this. I thought I'd say it when I looked at you. Nate, I can see you want to say something. Go ahead. That's right. That's right. That's right. Until he gets out. Right. Right. Okay, we're going to learn something today. You ready? It's a little prayer. You ready? Dear Holy Spirit, say it with me. Dear Holy Spirit. Do you understand we're talking to a person in the Godhead? We're talking to God. We're calling Him by name as He told us to call Him. Dear Holy Spirit. Okay, I'll try it again. Dear Holy Spirit. Okay? I'll say it and then you repeat it after me. Dear Holy Spirit. Good. Okay, now. Guide me as I talk to others. That's it. Is that hard? The man said, this is where the man, you're talking about his light, Nate? He said, the little guy's only 3 years old. He hasn't even had time to ride a bike or skip school or look at dirty books like all little boys should get to do. That's what this dad said about his three. Do you know what he named his son? James Dean. Rebellion. I wanted to talk so much, and God said, that ain't going to help him. What the world needs now is love, sweet Jesus. If they don't have Jesus, what are we going to do? Straighten them out? My opinion, his opinion. My opinion, his opinion. What I think, what he thinks. You know? I got to try to overcome this big old mountain of stupidity and sin. That's not my job. Did you just read Psalm 66:16? Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. What hath he done for your soul? What has he done for your mind, your will, and your emotions? What has he done? You could share that. That's alive. Okay? Go to Mark chapter 5, verse 18 and 20. Okay, you're making this last too long. Okay, we're already 2 minutes past. It's your fault. Mark chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. I want you to get this and we'll be done, I think. Okay? And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him, asked him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. Jesus allowed him not. But saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. You need to get saved. You need to straighten up, start going to church, and live the rules. No. God loves you while you're still sinning. The goodness of God leads a person to repentance. This does not lead a person to repentance. Did it work for you when your mom did it? Oh. Do you follow what I'm saying? They're being mean to me, doing all this. I love you. Guy had me by the neck. I'm going to rearrange your face. I mean, that's what he said in English. I don't know what, you know, that's how it translated. Okay.
Out of French.
Yeah. The dude was bigger than me. Everybody's bigger than me except sixth graders. And I'm going to rearrange your face. And I said, because the Lord had been showing me, if they smite thee on the one cheek, turn to them the other also. I said, God, I'm allergic to pain. I can't handle nobody beating on my body. And he said, Harv, what they did the master, going to do the servant. Do you want to be my servant or not? Okay, but I don't want to, but okay. shortly after that, I'm going to rearrange your face. And inside, while this guy is just, I mean, he has his hand drawn back. You know, rah! You understand? But I had this peace, even though I thought I was going to get pulverized, I had this peace because I had settled it in my heart that I was going to let God do whatever he wanted, even if it meant me getting pulverized. I'm going to rearrange your face. And I'm like, God, what do I say? And these words came out of me. If that's what you want to do, go ahead. But I want you to know one thing. What's that? I love you. And you can't beat it out of me. And he just stood there like this. He was shaking. He was so mad. And he just stood there like this. And it was lunchtime. It just became lunchtime. And Toby, the foreman, came walking up and said, what are you doing? And he just kind of walked away like this. And I stood there and went, thanks, I didn't get whooped. Folks, tell what good things he has done for you and had compassion on you. Share his love and it will make you love him more. Because it'll help you to remember his love. Share his love toward you. Tell others what he has done for you. Okay? Clear. Jesus, I commit all of us into your hands. This time, these words, these thoughts. May you... Right now, we want to break agreement with every lie that's in the way of these being rooted down inside of us and planted so that they could grow and begin to bring forth fruit unto your glory, Jesus. Because we want to receive these truths. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.